Welcome to the Grow Your Independent Consulting Business Podcast. I'm Melissa Lieberman, a fellow IC and business coach. On this podcast, I teach you to become a consistently booked independent consultant without becoming a pushy salesperson or working 24/7. If I can do it, you can too. Listen on to find out how.
Welcome to episode 155 of the Grow Your Independent Consulting Business Podcast. I am Melissa Lieberman, and today we are here talking about figuring out what the best strategy is for you based on your stage of business growth. I find that it's very common that consultants don't take a pause to think about matching up their strategy, whatever that strategy is for your business growth, with the stage of business that you're in order to really choose a strategy that's fit for purpose and will get you to where you want to go in a more efficient, impactful, and successful way. So that is what we're going to be talking about today. Before we dive in, though, I have to say a few words, which are thank you. I am blown away, absolutely blown away by the emails I've received, the responses to my Friday emails, the Amazon reviews, the detail in the Amazon reviews, the LinkedIn sharing, and all of this is related to the book. So I just want to say thank you so much. Whether you've downloaded the book, whether you've liked a post on LinkedIn that I made, or I actually only made one so far, to be honest with you, hasn't been a priority for me at the moment. But for those of you who have shared that post or shared the book just outright, it means so much to me and is so useful and helpful to other consultants who want to start a business or who want to be more successful with their business goals. Getting the word out is something that's really important to help all of us to get to the place where we want to be in our businesses. And I just can't thank you enough for you and what you've done to spread the word and or to let me know that the book impacted you in some way, in some form or fashion. I was just talking to someone earlier today, and he was telling me that he had been in a job search for a new tech job. And we had met for someone had introduced us. He said, I wish I had known about this 4 months ago when I was trying to decide if I should continue my job search. I think he said in total it was 8 months. So that was about 4 months in, worrying about where he was going to find his next role and if he was going to have to compromise on the type of role or the company. There are several companies in Denver that have a pretty strong reputation about being difficult to work at. We'll just put it that way. He was worried about having to compromise and taking a role at one of those. And just as shared with me, I wish I knew these resources were out there. It would have given me more options with what I wanted to do next in my career. So I just want to bring that together to say thank you for sharing the book. If you haven't yet shared the book, I would love for you to do so if you feel that it would be valuable to people in your network who are considering consulting or who are consulting now and have goals they want to achieve, whether they're financial goals or impact goals or work-life balance type goals. Sharing the book may help them. And certainly you can do that by sharing the link on my website, melissalieberman.com/book. But thank you again for getting the word out and for all of the kind messages that I've received and thoughtful messages I've received. So many amazing stories of how the book is being used. So with that, I also, one other quick note, just on a personal note, I just had to share a proud parent moment. We did a state swim meet. So my three boys, if you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, they are 13, 10, and 8 at this moment. And they are all three competitive swimmers. They swam for about 5 months to qualify for the Colorado State Swim Meet, which happened this past weekend. The two older ones qualified and they both finished in the top 20. And the older one broke two team records. One team record was 16 years old, so older than he was. So much fun. There's so many parallels to, I could probably do a whole podcast on the parallels between swimming and business. I'm not going to. But there's so many things that I just notice in terms of mindset, in terms of the way the kids are thinking, the kids that have, you know, similar capabilities, and why some excel and others are sort of more in the middle of the pack, even though you know their capabilities are so similar. And it always is coming down to mindset and whether they believe that winning a race, for example, is possible for them versus thinking that they're in the middle of the pack. And so therefore, that's really where they end up landing. So anyway, I'm not going to go too farther down that rabbit hole, but it's just so fascinating to me to see how this type of mindset work that we often talk about on the podcast comes into play in every aspect of life. Okay, so with that, let's pivot and talk about today's topic, which is the best strategy for your stage of business growth. Let's go through the agenda and then we'll dive in to the specifics here. What I'm going to start off with is the companion resource to this episode. So we'll dive into that. Then we'll talk about what I mean by pinpointing the best strategy for your stage of business. There are stages of a consulting business, and you want to make sure that you've got really good alignment between what strategy you're taking, the goal you're trying to achieve, and the stage of business that you're in. So we'll talk about that. Then we'll talk about diving into the impact when your strategy isn't aligned to your stage of business. So why does this matter? Then I'll share with you examples of what this looks like in practice. So I'll give you two sets of examples. The first is when you're choosing to implement a strategy that's more advanced than where you are in the evolution of your business and what that looks like and how to recognize it so you can avoid it. The second is the examples around when you're choosing a strategy that's less advanced than where you are in your business evolution. So we'll use those very detailed examples to help highlight what this looks like when you have a misaligned or mismatched strategy to your stage of business growth. And then we'll talk about the underlying causes. Why might you be doing this? It's always important to know the underlying causes so that you can recognize it more easily and so that you can address the root causes rather than putting more of a surface area fix on it. And then the last step of the podcast is what to do instead. So I'm going to share with you where all these examples of where your strategy may be misaligned to your stage of business, but I don't want to leave you with, well, great, Melissa, thanks for pointing out there's a problem. We're going to talk about what the solution to this is also. All right. So let's start off with the companion resource. The companion resource for this episode is chapter 5 of the Grow Your Consulting Business book, The 14-Step Roadmap to Make Your Independent Consulting Goals a Reality. Chapter 5 focuses on your assessment system to establish a baseline and pinpoint your greatest business opportunities. So in other words, in chapter 5, I give you a lot of questions around where you're at with your business relative to these 14 systems that you want to have in place over time and help you to gauge and assess where you're at. And then based on those answers, it gives you just a very simple maturity curve that you can look at and figure out where are you on that maturity curve. And from there, you really understand where are you at in terms of your stage of business growth, and then make decisions about the strategies you're going to choose to reach the specific goals you've set based on that, where you're at in the stage of business evolution. So go check out chapter 5. Again, you can just download the book for free. It's at melissalieberman.com/book. My name is missing a bunch of letters, so just be sure to click the link in the show notes and download the book for free. If you're someone like me who loves a paperback, my office is really chock full with all the books, you can go grab it on Amazon and there's a paperback version there. Okay, so the other thing that I'll point you out to is if you want something that's a little bit more automated and online, you can go to icassessment.com. So the two letters IC for independent consultant, assessment.com. And there you can take an assessment, an online assessment. It walks you through a series of questions, 15 or 20, just a handful. and it will help you to compare your business to the 14 qualities of a best-in-class consulting business. So again, these two tools combined together will really help you to get a better gauge on where you're at, on what stage of business growth you're in what stage of business evolution you're in what stage of business maturity you're in. And then from there, when you have that awareness, it's going to help you to make much better decisions about strategies that you want to choose to meet goals based on what stage of business you're in. All right. So that's a companion resource. Let's dig in though into this concept more definitively so that I'm really clear about what I'm talking about when I talk about the best strategy for your stage of consulting business growth. So what I mean is, very simply put, the strategy that you want to be picking based on the business phase that you're in and choosing a business strategy that aligns to where you're at in your business maturity and a strategy based on where you're at in that business maturity, a strategy that helps you to reach the specific outcomes you're wanting to reach. So if we flip that around, a mismatched strategy looks like you choosing a strategy that's either more advanced than where you are or less advanced than where you are to meet a certain goal. So let me repeat that again. A mismatched strategy means that you are choosing a strategy to reach a goal that's either more advanced than where you are or less advanced than where you are in your business maturity or evolution. And we'll talk about the impacts of that here in a moment. I'll give you a quick example, and then we're going to dive into a bunch more examples here in a minute. But a quick example might be, I hear this so often with consultants who you might have just started out, you might have landed a couple of clients from your network, and all of a sudden you feel this incredible amount of overwhelm because you feel like there's so much you've got to do. You need a website, you need an email list, you need to be posting on LinkedIn, you need to be speaking, you need to, you know, fill in the blank. There's all these things that you think you need to do in order to be successful as an independent consultant. And while, yes, most of those strategies can be valuable at some point in time, they are not necessary for you to fill your pipeline when your business is relatively new. So choosing strategies to reach specific goals based on where you're at in your business maturity is incredibly important. It's incredibly important not to get distracted by the shiny object. You're listening to a webinar or you're listening to my podcast and thinking you need to do all of these things when in fact you can take them step by step by step, choosing the most likely strategy to reach the goal that you're wanting to reach based on where you're at in your business maturity, right? So to really define what we're talking about today, that's what it is. Oftentimes I find consultants choosing strategies to reach a goal and they haven't thought about where they're at in terms of their business maturity. And they're either implementing strategies that are so advanced from where they're at that it's wasting time and money, or quite frankly, they're not giving themselves credit for what they've accomplished already and are delaying implementing strategies that could accelerate the growth of their business. That's what we're talking about today. Now, what's the impact of doing this? What's the impact of mismatching your strategy to reach a certain goal, mismatching it to the phase of your business, or not matching it up correctly to the phase of your business, or not even thinking about it? What is the impact? The impact is that you end up with slower growth, you end up with wasted time, you end up with unnecessary expenses, you end up with missed opportunities, you might end up with lower revenue than you're capable of, less fulfillment than is possible for you, and ultimately, you might even question if you're cut out for running a business. This is an important topic to know that you are thinking about choosing a strategy to reach a certain goal based on where you're at in the maturity of your business so that you don't suffer those impacts, so that you are able to accelerate the growth of your business while not sacrificing your flexibility, while not sacrificing the nature of the work that you want to be doing while not sacrificing the clients that you want to take on. You shouldn't have to take on clients you really don't want to work with just to hit a revenue goal. You can have all of this, but you've got to be thinking about what are your goals and then what do you believe the strategies are to reach those goals and then filtering those strategies based on the stage of business that you're in. All right, so let me share with you some examples to further bring this to life. The first example, set of examples, is a set of examples that give you an idea of what it might look like when you are choosing a more advanced strategy than where you are in terms of the maturity of your business. Let me give you some examples. It might be that you've decided you need to fill your pipeline. That's your goal. And then you think you need to generate leads, or I'm sorry, you want to fill your pipeline. And then you decide that the strategy is to fill your pipeline revolves around or includes at least heavily leans on posting on LinkedIn. Now, you can definitely generate leads by posting on LinkedIn, by posting thought leadership on LinkedIn, by posting and getting creative about describing what you do on LinkedIn. But oftentimes I find consultants racing ahead thinking they need to be posting on LinkedIn two or three times a month or two or three times a week in order to fill their pipeline when they haven't yet done two things. They haven't yet really met with or talked to their network, sometimes even their closest network, let alone their more expanded network. So they haven't really approached the lowest hanging fruit that is most likely to lead to potential consulting opportunities, because those are the people who know you, who understand what you do and your track record. The other scenario where this happens oftentimes is we think we should be doing this quote unquote the right way, so we better be posting on LinkedIn. But when your business is in the newer stages, let's say another example of when it's in the newer stages is when you aren't really clear about what your specialization is, what you want to be known for, what you want to be sought after for. And so going out and spending time posting on LinkedIn when you don't really have a clear, definitive specialization, you're almost talking to everyone. You know, as the saying goes, when you're talking to everyone, you're talking to no one. And so that gives you another example of when, you know, you think it's the quote unquote right thing to do to go posting on LinkedIn, when in fact you don't have some of the prerequisites to make that strategy an effective strategy for you. Do you see where there's misalignment between choosing a goal, picking a strategy to achieve that goal, and how it can be misaligned because it can be the right strategy, but not for that point of time in your business? Another example is when you rush into retainers because you think you're doing it wrong by charging by the hour or by the day. Now, listen, there are some consultants who go straight into retainer work, and I don't discourage that, but that can be really a smart strategy based on what you're offering and how clear you are and how strong your network is. There are a lot of reasons why you can go straight into retainers, but there are also a lot of prerequisites that you want to have in place before you go into those retainers. If you're rushing to replace your hourly rate with a retainer without having some of those prerequisites in place, such as a strong way to generate leads, a clear understanding of the value that you offer, and a sales process to uncover the client's needs and understand how to create business cases around those needs, for example, you may be rushing into a certain pricing, into that retainer pricing model that's more advanced than where you are. And as a result, you end up leaving money on the table because you're trying to do something the right way or do something the way a successful business owner does it in your mind, and therefore missing over the opportunities to build up the skills that will ultimately enable you to sell those retainers so powerfully. Another example is I hear this often for brand new consultants where we think we need a robust launch plan, or we need a website, or we need all of these kind of important things in place. One client was telling me she had a friend who recently started consulting, and she had spent 9 months or so building out all of this infrastructure. That usually does not lead to anything other than wasted time where you could have been talking to people, generating clients and making money, and then having the real life inputs that are so much more valuable to create that type of messaging on your website, for example. So if you, for example, if you think you need a robust launch plan, if you're brand new and you think you need a robust launch plan, that's likely well ahead of, well beyond where you're at in the maturity of your business. Your business is brand new. Just make a few simple phone calls, generate a few clients, and you can always do a robust launch plan in a year from now when you have a really clear consulting specialization and you know exactly what you want to be known for. Similarly, I was talking to another consultant who was considering hiring a marketing agency. He doesn't have a lot of time, like most of us, and thought, well, it won't make sense to hire a marketing agency to do a lot of content development and just take, you know, offload that work to make more hours in his day. Of course, logically, that sounds like a really good plan. But for him and for so many consultants in the same boat, when you aren't clear about what your consulting niche is, what your consulting specialization is, what you want to be known for, when you are more of a generalist, or even when you think you've got a niche and you haven't yet really dialed in the ability to create a pipeline and generate a pipeline by the content you're writing, there is very little chance that a marketing agency is going to do a better job than you would do. We often think, well, they're an expert in this. This is what they do for a living. I see it time and time and time again, and I've experienced it myself because I made that mistake. Marketing agencies are not better at writing the content for your own clients, for your own prospective clients, than you are. You can't skip ahead and expect them to understand what you're doing when you don't really understand what you're doing. You can't skip ahead and think that a marketing agency is going to understand the value to your end clients when you don't really understand how to articulate the value yet. You've got to figure it out first. It's kind of the core principle of outsourcing, right? First, you figure it out and understand how to operate all of it, and then you might consider outsourcing it. Don't expect a marketing agency to figure all of these things out for you. Most of the time we say things out loud, like, I want to hire a marketing agency to create my content or repurpose my content so I can free up more time for delivery and for selling and business development. It sounds so logical and practical. But at the end of the day, under the covers, oftentimes we're doing it because we're not clear, we're not sure, we're not confident. And so we think this other company can just skip over addressing all of those things and have this other company make us feel more confident and make us feel more clear. And really, that's not their job. So those give you some examples. One last example I want to share with you, and then we'll move on to the opposite side of where you're choosing a less advanced strategy than where you are. But the last example I want to share with you is similar to the LinkedIn posting. I often also hear consultants tell me, I need to carve out time to write a weekly blog article. I need to carve out time for thought leadership when they don't even have an audience yet. I ask them, okay, that sounds great. Tell me a little bit about your email list. They don't have one. Tell me about your LinkedIn connections, which is not your connections. They are LinkedIn's connections that you are benefiting from at the moment. But if they decide to take your profile away, which happens, by the way, those are gone, right? So anyway, my point is writing a weekly blog article when you don't yet have an audience is not necessarily the best strategy for you based on where you're at in the evolution or maturity of your business. The reason why you might be writing a weekly blog article, you've got to ask yourself, why am I doing this? When I ask consultants, why would you be writing a weekly blog article? They kind of look at me at first, why are you questioning me? That's just what we do. Not necessarily. It's based on aligning your strategy with the maturity of your business and the goals that you're wanting to achieve. And so when I ask consultants, why would you write a weekly blog article? A lot of times they tell me, well, I want to be visible. I want to generate awareness. But then when we look underneath the covers, They don't have a clear specialization yet, and they don't have an audience. There's no one to even read the blog articles. And yes, you know, some people, a few hundred maybe, might see those on LinkedIn. And I'm not saying to never write a blog article. I write one a month or two. What I am saying is that blog article is not going to create leads for you, most likely. Choose a strategy instead if you're newer to consulting, or you might not be newer. You might have been doing this for 20 years and you don't have a clear specialization yet. Think about addressing that first, getting clear on your specialization, what you want to be known for, and then building an audience around, you know, an email list, and then building out your weekly blog article. Or getting to the point where you have such a clear specialization that search engine optimization could be a good path for you. That's a very rare scenario. I do have consultants that I've worked with that SEO works really well for them, but it's because there are people, buyers out there searching for the very specific specialization that they have. That is not a common thing that happens. So again, those give you some examples of when you're choosing a more advanced strategy than where you're at in your business evolution, trying to accomplish a certain goal, but there are so many other better, simpler, more effective ways to accomplish the goal than choosing a strategy that is misaligned. All right, let's flip the coin now. Let's talk about the scenario where you're choosing a strategy that is less advanced than where you are. One of the easiest ways to recognize if you are doing this is if you are consistently generating the same results over and over and over again in your business, year over year, quarter over quarter, plus or minus a little bit. Might be that you're producing results of, you know, 300K every single year. Might be that you're producing results of working more than you want to be working and still making the same amount of money year over year. Might be that you're landing clients that aren't ideal for you, but you're just taking on the work anyway because you don't want to leave money on the table. Whatever that looks like for you, might be some or all of those. Want to be thinking about, this could be a sign that I'm employing a less advanced strategy than is reflective of where you're at in your business maturity. So for example, you may have multiple clients under your belt. You may have been working in your business for months or years, and you still haven't really clarified your niche or your specialization. You're worried because you're worried that if you do that, you might end up making less money than you've been making historically, or you might leave opportunities on the table or cut out work that would normally come to you. And so you avoid niching and specialization and struggling with keeping the pipeline full and finding clients that you would love to work with and doing work that's higher paying and making more money. Look at where you're at and where your goals are and see where you might be hanging on to a strategy that's no longer aligned to where you're at with your business and what your goals are. Another example is if you're not raising your rates or you're not shifting your pricing strategy. You might still be charging based on time, even though you've got a lot of engagements under your belt and a lot of clients under your belt and clients coming to you, and you're nervous to take that leap into different types of pricing models because you're worried you're going to make less money than you've been making or that you'll lose deals because of it. So that's another example where you may be leveraging a less advanced strategy than where you truly are in the maturity of your business. So you want to look at it from both of these perspectives. And again, you can do that by first figuring out, where are you? Let's just get real about the state of your business and then be able to set your goals and then choose strategies that you think are going to be the best path forward to reach those goals based on where you're at in terms of the maturity of your business. Sometimes I ask consultants, you know, they tell me a goal and then they tell me the strategy that they're planning to use to reach that goal. And I say, well, tell me why you chose that strategy. What else did you consider? And they don't have an answer. They didn't really consider anything else. They just happened to hear this particular strategy and decided to run with it because it's something that they quote unquote should be doing. The reason why we get ourselves into this challenge almost always comes down to one of two things, either wanting to escape an emotion or avoid an emotion. We don't want to feel overwhelmed. And so we just pick a strategy that sounds like it'll work and then move forward. We don't want to feel uncertain. We want to know, it's like skipping to the ending of a book. We want to know the answer. Did we succeed or did we not, or did we fail? We don't want to go through the reading of all, you know, the middle of it all. So we just try to skip to the end and to feel more certain that we're going to be successful. We don't want to feel discouraged that the strategy that we chose isn't working. We pick sometimes the loudest voice in the room that says, you should be doing this. And we go and do that without even questioning whether it's appropriate for our business. Listen, there are a lot of factors involved here. When you're choosing a strategy based on the maturity of your business, based on your would work best and resonate most with your ideal clients, what you feel most aligned to, all of these things come into play, but oftentimes we just want to jump ahead so we don't feel afraid of failure. We don't feel worried that we're not going to succeed. We don't feel overwhelmed by all the choices. We just jump in and start implementing a strategy. We haven't really thought through all of those components. And again, I want to point out to you, you can't be listening to all 154 episodes up until this point and implementing every single thing I've ever told you, because they're not all very sound pieces of advice and strategies that work in real life. I am not giving you anything that I don't personally know from either firsthand experience or experience with other consultants who do things that are similar to you. I'm not giving you any advice and any approaches, any frameworks that don't work for consultants. But at the same time, you've got to look at your own business and figure out and parse through what's going to make the most sense for you based on your own business goals and your stage in the maturity of your business. Right? So now that hopefully you're very aware of what this situation is and the potential pitfall that it poses for you in your business and the potential stalled or plateaued or ultimate failure of your business, which none of us want, I want to end this episode with what to do instead. What to do instead? Rather than rushing out and figuring out the best strategy that you're hearing on the latest webinar or on the latest podcast or in the latest book you've read, the first thing you want to be doing is, number one, getting clear on where you're at. What is your stage of business maturity? You can do that, start doing that by using those two tools I gave you. The IC assessment, it's at icassessment.com. Also, chapter 5 of the book, which you can download on my website. Really look at where you're at with your stage of business. So you've got that as a really sound foundation from which then you're going to be making some decisions. Then from there, based on the results of that awareness activity and benchmarking activity, you want to get clear on what your goal is. So perhaps your goal is to increase the value of your pipeline. Get very clear about what is the goal you're wanting to achieve. Don't pick a strategy just because it sounds good and you don't even know what the end goal is that you're trying to accomplish. And believe me, I've done that too. Constantly tempted. I love learning new things, and you probably do too as a consultant, like sponges for new information. But just because a strategy sounds interesting and kind of like a challenge that might be fun to pursue doesn't mean that it's appropriate based on the goal that you've got. So get really clear about what is the outcome you're wanting to achieve. That's step two. Step one was awareness. Get clear on where you're at, where your starting point is. Step two then is get clear on what outcome are you wanting to achieve, such as a higher value pipeline. Then step three is to choose a strategy that you're going to take to accomplish the goal. You want to choose a strategy that's aligned to both the stage of business where you're at and to the goal that an outcome you're wanting to accomplish. So what I love to do in this step three is choose a couple of strategies. If the goal is to increase your value of your pipeline, ask yourself, what strategies might I employ to increase the value of my pipeline? And then you look at a few of them. Maybe it's networking. Maybe it's speaking. maybe you're at a point in your business where it is getting more visible and publishing some thought leadership, whatever it is. Write down those couple of strategies that you think that you have the hypothesis that this could lead to the result that you're looking for. And then ask yourself some questions, some business owner level questions. If I chose this strategy, what would be driving it? What's driving this strategy? So for example, is it driving it that you heard so-and-so tell you that it's a good strategy or some other reason? Did you hear this is what a good consultant does, quote unquote? Or is there a sound reason that drives you choosing that strategy based on what you know of your business and the maturity of your business and your ideal clients and what would resonate with them? Ask yourself what else could work. You have this hypothesis of one or two strategies that you think would best reach the goals that you've set based on your stage of business maturity. Ask yourself what else might work. Explore other options. Explore other options by asking yourself, what is the most straightforward path to the goal? Then question yourself, what would I be avoiding if I chose this strategy? What would I be avoiding if I chose whatever the strategy is that is your hypothesis? Might you be choosing it because you're avoiding feeling overwhelmed and you just want to get it over with, for example? Ask yourself, for what stage of business is this strategy most appropriate? And does that match my stage of business? Like really looking at this from a 360-degree perspective, poking holes in the strategy or one or two strategies that you chose and making sure that you stress tested those one or two strategies that you believe give you the best chance to reach the goal you've set based on your stage of business growth and maturity. And then from there, having done that due diligence, having done that double checking and poking holes in it, you finalize the strategy, you test it and you adjust it. And you continually ask yourself, is this the right strategy based on what I'm learning so far? Might I figure out something that's even simpler? Is this more advanced than I even need? Or how am I holding myself back in choosing a strategy that for a stage, when I was newer to business? Really just questioning yourself. This doesn't have to be a long, drawn out process. Please do not use this as a tool to overcomplicate your decisions. Please do not use this as a tool to take weeks and months to decide something. I love making quick decisions, but also well-informed decisions and then moving forward. And so that's the formula, those four steps to do instead of just rushing forward and choosing a strategy without really looking at how well the strategy, the goal you're looking for, or the outcome you're looking to achieve and the stage of business you're in are aligned. All right. So to wrap this up, I want to remind you to go download the book, go through chapter 5, answer all of the questions. Take the IC assessment alongside chapter 5. It gives you a visual of those questions from chapter 5 and gives you a pie graph and some recommended next steps based on your results. And chapter 5 also gives you some really subjective type questions to answer to take more out of the ratings and that kind of thing that you give yourself. So go put this into action. Figure out what is your baseline, what is your benchmark, so that then ultimately you can start making higher quality decisions about the strategies you're going to leverage to achieve the goals that you're looking to achieve. All right, my friend, thank you for tuning in. Thank you again for all the amazing reviews and ratings you've been sharing and sharing of the book and of this podcast. I really, truly appreciate it. And for the purposes of getting the word out to as many people as possible who want to succeed as consultants, right? Thank you for being here, and I will see you again next week. Take care.
Thanks for joining me this week on the Grow Your Independent Consulting Business podcast. If you liked today's episode, I have three quick next steps for you. First, click subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to make sure you don't miss future episodes. Next, leave me a review in your podcast app so other independent consultants can find and benefit too. And finally, to put the ideas from today's episode into action, head over to melissalieberman.com for the show notes and more resources to help you grow your consulting practice from your first few projects into a full-fledged business. See you next week.